Isn't it?
Tonight we're going to discuss a fascinating topic and a fun tshuva that hopefully is not too halacha l'maisa, but you know, maybe for some people it is, it isn't, I don't know. But we're going to discuss tonight a really interesting topic that many different poskim you'll see on the sheet really discuss, the tshuva here of the Shevet HaLevi, the Mishnah Halacha, Rav Menashe Klein, Tzitz Eliezer, and Negros Moshe, really three of the Gdolei Ashkenaz of the last generation. We're going to really focus the crux of our shiur. We're going to try and see Rav Moshe's answer. I think it's the most famous of the tshuva here. We're going to quote the Tzitz Eliezer's and the Mishnah Halacha. We'll discuss a little bit less so, but try and see a little bit of the... You joining us?
I will.
Okay, awesome. So the goal tonight is going to be, as usual, to discuss a fun, fascinating, and I think interesting, and arguably a little bit divisive topic in Halacha, and see how some of the basic Mikorot, and see how some of the Gdolei Ador discussed it in their respective responsa svarim. So tonight's topic is going to be, can one cheat on tests in Halacha? Is it mutar asur to cheat on tests? Potential different issues that come across with it. And the question that was asked to Rav Moshe, as you can see at the top, Sheila, b'isr gnevas tshuvas l'sheilot mimchanei asiyum sheoseh ha-medina. Right, he's referring to, are you guys from New York?
I'm from
New York. So New York, you have the regents, right? Okay, so Rav Moshe is specifically talking about the regents, but we're going to extrapolate that it doesn't matter too much if it's the regents or other tests. So Rav Moshe wants to know if you can have access, he's being asked, if I could get access to the answer key before the test, is that halachically acceptable or not, right? Obviously, you'll do a lot better, hopefully. I would like to hope you would do a little better before the test if you had access to all of the answer keys. Hine v'davar she'alto al masha shama shebi yeshivos mitzirin latalmidim lignovet atshivot la'shelot mimchanei asiyum she'oseh ha'medina. Regents. Note how Moshe likes to transliterate modern words in parentheses there. Kidei lehonot ulekabel et hatuda shegamru b'tov. Okay? Basically, he's saying there's rumors. We heard some stories that there were some yeshivas that allowed the students to steal the answer key or to have access to the answer key or potentially to cheat in other ways. Lav dafka is it? Oh, we got the answer key before the test. Maybe it's you have a fancy graphing calculator, so you found a way to program all the formulas in beforehand, or you have one of these smart watches, exactly, or people would write all the answers on the inside wrapper of their water bottle and flip it upside down in different angles, whatever. All the different fun ways that people do to cheat, is that going to be acceptable in halacha? Okay? It is, and part of the thing is, right, one of the things he mentioned at the end is, they're going to then benefit from getting the certificate that they graduated, like, with honors, right? They're shegamru b'tov, like they graduated with a good grade, right? So there clearly is a benefit in cheating and doing better, right? There are positive outcomes from that, whether that's getting into college, getting a better job, etc., things like that. There are ramifications in the long run for cheating on tests. That is something that can have a real ramification on someone's life. What do you guys think? Mutter, us, or what?
Well, I think it's case by case.
What would you differentiate with you a little more nuance than that?
I can think of a thousand.
In which direction? And I throw out one in each direction.
I don't know. Nothing comes on top of my head. You could say that you shouldn't cheat because then, like, you're not going to actually know the information and kind of just go along with pretending like it's something that you're not.
Okay, where would that be? Like, let's say if we're with, like, a nafkamina. That's svara, right? If I cheat on the test, then I won't know the information as well, in which case I'm going to be lacking in my education. Where might that play out drastically?
Doctors.
You're in medical school, and you cheat on your test for, cardiology 101 in, you want to be a cardiac surgeon, but you cheated on the test. That could lead to someone getting killed by a non-professional doctor, right? Whereas in, like, I don't know, is cheating on my, like, ninth grade, like, English literature exam really going to, lead to... How serious are the ramifications? We could see a difference between... your ninth grade English class versus the bar exam when you're trying to pass to become a lawyer or your MCATs to get into medical school or something. The stakes are higher in certain situations.
It should just be based on how, let's say,
Mitzvah test to become a rabbi.
Okay, true story. I kid you not. Not one of my tests, but a good friend of mine, when he went to take a smicha test, two different occasions. One occasion, he went to the you're allowed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the test. He went to the bathroom. There was a guy sitting on the toilet with a Shulchan Aruch. He snuck a Shulchan Aruch into the bathroom. We're sitting in the bathroom learning Shulchan Aruch in the middle of the test. So, you've got cheating on tests. You're bringing Svarim into bathrooms. You have learning sparring in bathrooms. It's like, that was really bad. Okay. And another exam, there was a whole problem. The place where the exam was supposed to happen, the building where the tests generally happen, was double booked, and everyone showed up, and they're like, oh, there's a conference going on. We can't give you all our conference rooms today for your exam. And so they quickly moved to, like, the hotel across the street, like, last minute. Like, everyone was there, like, okay, we're just going to go to this hotel. So there weren't enough rooms, whatever. So there were some people who were taking the test in the lobby of the building, right? The main lobby of a hotel. You can do whatever you want in the lobby of a hotel. The test doesn't run the place. So once word got out, so people started coming into the lobby of the hotel and just casually talking about the topic of the test. Because, like, it's a public space. You can't kick someone out of the lobby of a hotel, even though there's a test happening there, because it's like...
proof that anyone could become a rabbi.
Yeah. I mean, you have to also be able to, like, read the Shulchan Aruch well enough and fast enough in the bathroom to be able to like, figure out also, like, part of the issue of knowing, you know, with the tests are very, very difficult is knowing exactly where something is to find out the answer. That's part of also the difficulty. But not discussing, you know, pros and cons or validity of smicha b'zman hazeh. But true story, two different stories, both that my friend of mine saw with his own two eyes.
Is that from Moshe Rabbeinu?
Yeah. Two true stories that a friend of mine witnessed himself of cheating on not only just chess, but cheating on tests that are, in theory, giving someone smicha to make them a rabbi.
I wonder if they learned this.
Probably not. Or they did and they just disagreed, you know? Or they paskined on the topic, you know? Okay? So, clearly we can see there are, right, as you pointed out, there's different stakes at hand depending on what the test
is. It's definitely not the right thing to do.
Ah, so you're saying there might be halacha and there might also be what we would call meta-halachic issues, morals, what's the ethically correct thing to do,
the
right?
Ethically correct thing, you probably shouldn't cheat. I mean, I had a Rebbe who said, cheat on my test, but if you get caught, you get caught.
What if let's play devil's advocate for a second and then move on to some makoros. What if it's like the ethically correct thing is to cheat, right? I need to take, like, let's say I've been a real estate agent for the past 30 years. And I need to renew my license, whatever it is, every few years. And all of a sudden they change, there's an incredible amount of they change the laws. The books that are now on the test are you know, triple the amount. And I've already been in the field. I have connections. I'm working as is. But I need to just pass the test. But the amount of time it's going to cause me to study for the test means, you know, that I'm not going to have parnasa for like a month before, and so I'm going to need to study, and then I'm going to have problems in how to feed my kids. Right? We could argue, you know, different situations where it's like, well, what's the actual ethical, you know, issue at hand? Okay? So let's try and see what some of the sources are, and then we'll get to some of the tshuvot at the end. Okay? So the pasuk tells us in Sefer Shemot, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, V'nakiya V'tzadik Al Ta'arog, Kilo Tzadik Rasha. Okay? The pasuk tells us, right? Explicit pasuk midoraita. You have to remove yourself and distance yourself very much from Sheker, from lying, from falsehood. V'nakiya V'tzadik. Right? You have to be clean and a tzadik. You have to be, you know, everything has to be pure. Everything has to be emesdik, right? You don't want to have, you know, you want to be a white sheet, like this table. You want it to be white. You don't want, you know, to be muddy and, you know, not really sure. Moral conscious, halachic issues, right? You want everything to be clean, okay? Because I'm not going to try and, you know, straighten out the Russia. We're not going to try and turn the Russia into all of a sudden a big tzadik. The Ksava Kabbalah points out very interestingly on this pasuk. Shina katav lomar Rasha hazara b'lashon zeh v'lo amar lo tedaber sheker. I would have, like, the lashon of the actual question is very odd. I would have thought, right? Midvar sheker tirchak. Distance yourself from words of sheker. I would have thought, normally, what do we say, right? Right? Al tishaker. Don't lie. Right? Right? Lo yilbash, as we discussed last week. Right? Generally, our commandments are pretty straightforward. Midvar sheker tirchak is a very odd language. It's a very odd way of wording the iser of avoiding lying. So the Ksav HaKabbalah points out, right? It's a very weird way to word it. So what does he say? The reason the pasuk says it very interestingly is because there's no avera which is more commonly found and more, you know, generally, you know, people transgress, you know, are willy-nilly about, is, you know, lying and telling the truth and doing everything in a yashar, totally straight way. Right? This is something that very often people are unfortunately not the most honest and straightforward about. Things, you know, there's people who are straight as a ruler and people who, you know, they're like one of those, you know, like a kid's Play-Doh when it comes to how straight they are and yasha they are in life. Okay, there's no Rashi points out. There's no one who speaks truth always. Like there's no one who like always speaks truth 100% of the time. Lachen ba katuv b'lashon zeh kedei la'asod harchaka yeteira. It's not just telling you don't lie. Rather, it's saying distance yourself from any form of sheker.
I was going to say, is cheating on a test lying? Because the test is asking you for the information. It doesn't necessarily say study for the information. It says if you have the information, you have the information.
So you're asking a good question. You might say, you're answering the answer correctly. That's not called cheating because you're providing the correct answer.
I mean, it's cheating. But the other cheating.
Correct. Lying. Is it lying? Fine. I could argue on the flip side, potentially, that they're not asking you what's the correct answer. They're asking you what do you know. So you're lying about your knowledge and the information you have up here in your brain versus are they asking you for the correct answer. That I hear exactly what you're saying. I think that's a good point.
Well, let's say you don't cheat, right? And you know how to. Let's say like I had a Rebbe who pretty much gave you the questions before the test, and you didn't really study the topic. You studied the questions, and you knew the answer, and you actually didn't know anything about the test. Like you didn't know like the halacha.
You know what to expect.
But you just knew how to answer the questions. So you didn't have actual knowledge on the topic. You just knew how to answer the questions. It's the same.
Well,
thing.
There it's different because the Rebbe is giving you the questions.
Yes, but he's asking you for knowledge. You don't have knowledge. You have,
correct.
But
when
answer.
He provides you with the questions and answers beforehand, that's part. That's a huge debate. There's a huge debate. I didn't really bring so much of it here. There's a huge debate, and we'll get back to the Makoros as an aside. Teachers who use the same test year after year, what's known as test banks. I don't know if you've heard the term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that, but
so there's some poskim who say if the teachers aren't stupid. Okay. If the teacher chooses for the past 19 years to use the exact same test because they're too lazy to write new tests every year, you can't play ostrich and bury your head in the sand and assume no one's going to cheat, okay? Or use last year's test when you don't change anything. That's just a basic kind of your own achrayus. That's your responsibility. I had a teacher in high school who said flat out, I used the same test as last year, but she wouldn't let anybody take the test home. You were allowed to look at it in the classroom. In front of her, you weren't allowed to leave the classroom until you handed it back in. And if you had any questions, you could meet with her one-on-one in the office to say that you graded this incorrectly or I think I deserve more points here and there. Because she knew. And she said, I'm going to use the same test because I wrote good tests and she used it right. She worked very hard on it. But she wasn't willing to say, right? Everyone knew she used the same test. So the word gets out. Everyone's going to use the same test bank every year after year. So there she was saying, I'm using the same test. But I'm doing my own hishtadlus. I'm doing the responsible thing by collecting them and not letting the answers scatter and go everywhere. Let's get back to some of the makoros. But yeah, it's a good point. You know, that's obviously going to play in some of the discussion. So the Ksav HaKabbalah points out the reason why it says midvar sheker tirchak, stay very far away from any sort of potential lie, is because people often do lie. So it's not saying don't lie. We want to set up a boundary, right? As the Mishnah in Avot tells us, right? Yeah, that's siag la Torah. You want to put a fence to safeguard around the Torah. Sometimes there's one isser, but we create other safeguards. We create other boundaries to prevent other things from happening, right? That was part of the issue with Adam and Chava, right? Hashem said, don't eat from the tree. And all of a sudden, the snake says, touch it. Look, nothing happened. Okay? And then Chava fell for it. Oh, if nothing happened when I touched it, clearly I can eat it. The isser was eating it. So there we might have thought, this is a different discussion, you might have thought maybe they should have not touched it as a personal safeguard. You want to take a personal harchaka to prevent yourself from falling in the garbage. Right? You don't want to hurt yourself. Okay? There's all over halacha, we know there's different, you know, harchaka that are set up to create boundaries so that we don't do, you know, A might be prohibited, but we're going to say, oh, B, you can't do B also because we want to make sure we want to create a safeguard. So the Ksav HaKabbalah explains the whole pasuk. Midvar Sheker Terechag is saying, look how severe the issue of lying is, that anything that even has a smidgen, a little bit of a hint of lying, is going to be problematic. The Sforno points out, Mikol Zeh, Davar Sheyachol Saviv Sheker Kamram, Zeh Havi Zahir B'dvarecha. The pasuk in the Mishnah of Avot, Shem Mitocham Yomadu Sheker. The Sforno quotes, we'll see in a second, the Mishnah in Avot, as pointed, right, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Tet, says, in the name of Shimon ben Shetach, that you have to be incredibly, incredibly careful to remove every possible option of lying, right? You have to, right, there it's discussing whether you have to, right, looking into the Eidim before accepting testimony, So it's not exactly our sugya here accepting testimony in Eidos, but the yisod, the fundamental reason behind the Mishnah is we have to do everything in our ability to avoid any potential hint of lying. You can't accept Edom that are going to come to your base and then lie about the court, the case at hand. That's horrible. Right? That's clearly problematic. So
wouldn't they like break the Edom?
Yeah. You'd have series of Chakira of a Drisha. Drisha of a Chakira. You have to ask them all these questions. And where were you? What were you doing? Right? Create your alibi. Where were you? What's going on? Show me that you really were there. I don't know, just accept any Edos because, oh yeah, I saw Shimon kill Reuven. What do you mean you saw Shimon kill Reuven? It's just like, you know, well, who was with you? Where were you? What time was it? Etc. Okay? So issue number one, we see very clearly, the Torah tells us explicitly that there's a prohibition of lying. We see how strongly we must take lying, as the Sforno and the Mishnah Avos and the Ksav HaKabbal point out. We have to set up very, very strong and stringent safeguards to make sure that there's nothing we are doing that is remotely close to lying. Okay? Do you want Makoros to follow along inside, or you're good? I think there's a... Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to take this even a little bit further. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chotmo Hashel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Right? The seal, the signet ring of the Rabbonu Shel Olam himself is what? Emes. The soul fat, right? You want to know about what's the quality of God? What is the signing point? What is the signet ring of the Rabbonu Shel Olam? Truth. That is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Rashi points out, as other Mepharshim as well, why specifically does he use the word MS for all different things? Right? MS being Aleph is the first letter in the alphabet, Tuf is the last letter in the alphabet, and Mem is the middle letter of the alphabet. Meaning, from A to Z, with a stop at M in the middle, right? From every little and last thing you say in the world, it must be totally truthful. It has to be MS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs everything to MS. That means everything from the very first thing in the world to the very last thing, from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, that means everything is MS. In an interesting discussion in Masechet Sota, which, due to time, we're not going to get into the whole discussion, but basically the Gemara in Sota basically explains to us how we're supposed to model everything we do in life after the Rabbonu Shalom. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'al Bishan Rumim, he gives people clothing to close their nakedness, so too, you should go out of your way to, you know, either wear clothing yourself, to give clothing at Tzedakah, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevaker Cholim, like he went to be Mevaker Cholim to Avram Avinu after his Bris Milah, so too, we should go to Bikur Cholim, so too, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menachem Avelim, okay? Like he's okay, so too, we have to be Menachem Avelim, okay? Many different, the Gemara brings a lot of different potential things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu we see that Hashem, quote-unquote, did in the Torah. So too, we want to try and model ourselves and our personal behavior after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And between these two Gemaras, we see, just like if we're trying to model our behavior after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, many of the Rishonim in Bali Machshava point out that one of the main things we're trying to do when it comes to learning Machshava and Musar is we're trying to strive to reach a spiritual plane where we are more online with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're trying to model ourselves after Hashem's behavior. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs things with MS, truth, is his seal, then clearly, you know, what they say, you know, in gimmicks and in, as they like to say in Hebrew, trikim v'shtikim, for those that have heard the term, that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily going to represent, and that's going to be something very problematic. So, part one to the shir, okay, regarding cheating on tests or regents or other type of exams. Okay, Pasuk, Midvar Sheker, Terechak, we want to stay as far away from cheating as possible. Taking that a step further, we try and do everything we can in life to emulate the qualities, the traits, the personalities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we see. And then of course, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself signs things on MS, if the code word, the truer meaning, the identity of the Rabbon Shalom is MS, from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, with a stop in the middle, encompassing the entire expanse of the language, being all of our alphabet, being everything that was created, because the world was created by Sarah Dibros, okay, with 10 statements. So too, everything we have to do should be truthful, because we're trying to strive and to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest, truest way. Step two of the shir, we're now going to get a little bit more technical. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf, Yod Amabet, tells us in the name of Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchuta Dina. Anyone here heard the term Dina Malchuta Dina before?
It means that the law of the government is concerned.
Exactly. The law of the land is binding, right? That's going to have that's going to have ramifications all over halacha, right? Using money, right? Can I use a dollar to be for Meister Shani? Can I, right? Can I sue, right? When it comes to lawsuits, am I allowed to sue someone according to the legal law, like the law of the land versus the Choshen Mishpat and Eben Ezer, like halachic law? Lots of ramifications for Dina de Malchut, the Dina, how it works out, and ramifications of halachic advice that comes up from it. But very, very clearly, we seem to say that Gemara tells in the name of Shmuel that, practically speaking, the law of the land is binding. So, if, basically speaking, at the top, you know, if the law of the test, right, if the government issued test or any test, the school's policy is cheating is prohibited. If you're caught cheating, you get a zero, you get suspended, whatever the ramifications are, those are halachically binding, not just legally binding, right? There's going to be a difference. If something's halachically binding, klape shemaya, morally, ethically, halachically, is this something I have to do? Versus the law of the land requires me to, even though halacha might say something otherwise. Okay? The Rashbam, in his commentary on Bava Batra, and Davnan Dalad, on the bet, points out very interesting, kol masim var no not, umin agot, shal mishpatei malachim, sheregilim lanhig malachutam, dinahu, shekol b'nei malachut, mekablim aleim, mirtzonam, chukei amelach, umishpatav, וילקח דין גמור הוא ואין לו מחזק בממון למחזק בממון חביר או הפי חוק המלך הנהוג בעיר משום גזע. Okay, practically speaking, the Rashbam says, by definition, you chose to live in place X. Because you chose to live there, that means the laws of place X are also actually going to be binding to you, right? You didn't have to live in Bangladesh or Singapore or Canada or wherever you chose to live. You could have moved somewhere else, and by definition of you being there, it's as if you accept upon yourself the laws of the land. That's going to apply for taxes.
The laws applicable if you don't get fined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's part of the, there's an interesting discussion, not for now. We're going to just share this and we're going to leave it at this, just 1 second. There's a whole discussion regarding like speeding. If I know that like the speed limit is, let's say, 70 kilometers an hour, the cops won't stop you if you're at 71. So I know in America, you said the cops only stop you if you're at least 5 miles over the speed limit. Okay? It'll depend on the cop. There'll be cops that are going to stop you if you're 2 miles over. There's going to be cops who say, oh, you're 5 to 10, that's fine.
I think that the standard is 10 everywhere that I've been in New York.
How many tickets have you got in?
The standard stop.
Whatever. I don't want to get into this now, but this is just this is what he's saying, right? Also, hey, Dina de Malchut de Dina is going to change between New York and San Francisco. Okay? So there's what I say. Dina de Malchut de Dina is not the law posted on the sign, but at what point are the police who are in charge of enforcing the law, at what point are they themselves actually going to enforce it? That's a different discussion. Oh, there's home quarters here that aren't.
If the law is not enforced.
So that's going to be a different discussion. Not at all for now. Jaywalking, I used to be very much annoyed to jaywalk. Rav Nemitzel holds it's Asher Mitzad Dina Malchut Dina to jaywalk. I was like, no one ever gets stopped. I have a friend who got stopped, and I remember when we were dating, my wife was always like, Rav Nemitzel says you can't jaywalk. She was always like, no, you're going to get yourself killed by like a car or by jaywalking. And I'm like, no, you look both ways first. And she's like, Rav Nemitzel says, Asher, you can't jaywalk. And I was like, fine. Okay? But point is, yeah, so basically Rashbam explains this. So it might also be different of like, you're crossing the street in Modi'in, and if you're going to walk right by the shul versus the other side of the street, you're going to walk, you know, half a kilometer up the hill till you get to the crosswalk versus, you know, there might be an area where I don't know if the police would stop you, right? When you're walking across the shul, because the parking's on the other side of the street, I don't think the shul, the police would stop you for jaywalking here. Okay, that's a question. But let's leave that aside. That's not our discussion. We're talking about cheating on tests. That's more of a broader Dina Malchut Din issue. But that's how the Rashbam points out that really it's partially you accept it upon yourself by choosing to live in a place, and it's going to apply to all different types of issues that are happening.
Like, culturally acceptable, let's say. I don't know what word to use there.
Culturally acceptable, or the local police, like those who are in charge of enforcing it, accept it.
No, like teachers, if they catch a cheat, they catch a cheating. But like, let's say everyone cheats. Like, let's say there's a test, there's a specific teacher where everyone...
So then maybe everyone's a poche. If everyone's eating shreif, like, it's like the classic line, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge after them? Like, I'm not comparing it, obviously, to, like, eating shreif or to suicide. But I'm saying there are certain arguments that, like, just because everyone's doing something inappropriate doesn't make it acceptable. Okay? That's just always important to keep in mind.
I have a question kind of related to this.
So can we say if it's quasi-related, let's save it to the end, okay? So we can see the tshuva inside. Okay, we're good. Happy to discuss it after Shir, but let's try and stay a little bit more focused on topic. Okay. So source number two, right? Issue number one, lying midvar sheker. Terechak staying far away from lying and saying only the truth as possible. Then 1A is we're trying to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. He signs things with truth. The whole language is surround. The word truth is built off of the, you know, the corner pieces and the centerpiece of the alphabet. And then point two was this concept of Dina Malchut Dina, that the law of the land is halachically binding, not just legally binding, and that is going to include what the rules of the government are for cheating, right? The SAT College Board or the colleges or high schools all have their own policy, right? Every school, every respectable school at least has a cheating policy, I assume, right? I'm pretty sure at least that's at least when I was in high school that's the case. I assume it's only gotten more and more strict as years go on, as technology has advanced.
Especially with Corona, most
teachers
open notes.
Oh, but if the teacher tells you to open notes in advance, then using your notes isn't cheating.
Right.
Open notes, though, probably doesn't include a test bank. We could argue maybe, you know, if you have a test bank that's part of your notes, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Let's leave that aside.
I wrote it down beforehand.
Yeah, you took the old last year's test and you like you copied it by hand. Okay, whatever. Let's not get into that now. Let's try and take things out to part three. The Gemara in Chulin tells us inside Amdalit, okay? Amar Shmuel. Right? Same Shmuel note that we mentioned in Gidin regarding Dina Machlud. Dina, the same Shmuel says, okay? Asur lignov dasa brios afilu dasa shalakum. Shalavit kocham. Okay? You're not allowed to trick someone. You're not allowed to steal someone's das. Right? I can't trick you in a way, right? I'm gonna, it's conniving, it's cunning. I'm leading you to think A when really B is the truth. There is a problem called Genevas das. Okay? And that is not only true just for Jews, that's obviously that's going to apply to tricking a non-Jew also. That's going to have ramifications in if I'm selling you something. Here, do you want to buy this blue marker? Little do you know, I've used 97% of the ink. You're going to buy it, right? It looks brand new from the outside. You go like this. It writes blue. It looks good. Little do you know, it's more or less empty. It's totally dried up inside except for a little tiny bit. You'll use it for a week. It'll be empty. You're going to be like, wow, this guy sold me a cheap pen. Right? That's going to be Genevas Das. I tricked you. Okay, it's like right, that's going to apply in all types of things, right? If you change your the, so there's something. This will also be Geneva Mamish because I stole your money. Okay, but it started with me tricking your mind, right? Geneva's Das will also apply to giving someone bad advice, right? If I you know I, or giving you advice that it works out to my best interest.
Why Jews are so good at the stock market?
Okay, leaving that there and okay. So this is going to there's going to be a problem to stealing or tricking someone to steal or trick someone, and that applies both to Jews and non-Jews applied regardless of whatever comments were and you know assumptions were passed here in the corner. Okay, the Ritva points out on this. Okay, that okay. Okay, right. This is going to apply right. Like I'm in Mokrim Nivelos Vetrepos and Nochrim Mifneshe Mateo Velos Agile Velo Haviad. You know what was the Iker line here? Okay. Ah. So he basically points out at the end, right? She'ain Chel Hashem, right? You might have tried to say to yourself, oh, there's no Chel Hashem, right? The guy's never going to know. It's not going to have a mamish, right? It's not like a case where I've
done... Chel Hashem isn't the problem.
Correct. It's not, but you might try to justify to yourself, oh, there's no Chel Hashem, he'll never know. He won't know that, you know, I diluted the vinegar, you know, a little bit with some water, right? Like, that would be, there's no real Genevas Mamon issue here. They'll never find out. There's no Chel Hashem. Whatever, the Ritva has a longer piece here. I want to, just for time, we'll skip over the Ritva for a minute and just see what the Rambam paskins Halakha L'maisa. The Rambam brings this down, Halakha L'maisa in Hilchos Mechira, right? In both, in the Halakha of sales, right? Asur l'ramot, you can't trick someone. Okay, b'nei dam mechel mechar. When it comes to business dealings, olignov datam, or to trick what they think, not just with their money, not with the actual physical things. But if I give you wrong information, right? I tell you information about some sort of clinical medical trial. You run and go to get it done, and all of a sudden, I knew that there was going to have problematic things. But I'm the lawyer for the tort case against the medical company. So I'm not going to be like, oh wait, it had bad ramifications. We're suing them. Why don't you join my lawsuit? Right? It has like you know. Maybe that also have mamon issues as well, but I'm giving you bad advice because it has some sort of interest to myself or to someone else, right? I'm tricking you, okay? Right? We don't differentiate between Jews, non-Jews, okay? Okay?
I was actually just watching a YouTube video about these a bunch of YouTubers are actually getting exposed for recommending this gambling site that
they're getting kickbacks from.
Yeah, they're getting a ton of kickbacks. It's a whole thing. So yeah, right. this would apply,
right? But there might be real. There it might be Gneva Mamish, depending on how it's worded and what's going on. But it's definitely trickery, right? You're giving someone bad advice. Right? I would argue that any gambling site, by definition, is bad advice, right? Serious, you know, gambling addictions, people throwing away their entire parnasa in one shot, things like that are no joke. Right? Besides for the halakhic questions of, you know, gambling, etc. Also, you have misachek v'kubia. Okay, so let's see the next Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos also says, Asur la adam la anchi gatzmo b'divrei chalukatu pitui. You can't, you know, entice someone or try and give things out to trick people. Lo yechad b'peh v'chad b'liv. You shouldn't tell someone one thing as you're thinking in your heart the other thing, like, oh, yeah, right, you're standing there with your video camera, you know, you got a GoPro on, you pretend it's off. Oh, yeah, this ice cream flavor is absolutely delicious. Little does the guy know you've mixed in, like, you know, wasabi and hot sauce, because you just want to have, you know, a funny video of the guy, like, spitting up this super spicy, you know, chocolate ice cream, right? You have one thing in your mouth. Oh, this is the best chocolate ice cream. It's so fudgy. It's amazing. It's so rich. It's delicate, whatever it is. But really, you're thinking in the back of your head, he's about to spit this up all over the place. It's going to be really funny, and I'm going to get, you know, all these, you know, likes online. That's going to be problematic, right? You're thinking... Not getting the whole discussion, but the Rambam here says you can't say one thing in your mouth and then another thing in your heart. Like you're trying to, you're telling him do X, but you're thinking really, oh, it's not really because of what I'm telling you.
No, they're screwing each other over. It's different.
I mean, it depends on how the situation is. If it's like a game where it's like, oh, who could prank each other the best? So we know it. We're like, we're both looking out for it. That's a different discussion. Let's leave that aside. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. Elotoko kiboro. Your insides are supposed to be just like your outsides. What's in your heart should be what you speak, right? This goes back to telling the truth that we said at the very beginning. Everything should be regarding MS. Even for non-Jews. Even a single word that's going to be trying to entice someone or to edge someone on to get them in, to do what you want or to trick them, that's going to be totally problematic. That's going to be forbidden, okay? Elas svat emet v'rak nachon v'lev tahor mikol amel v'havot. The Rambam says, at the end of the day, you need to have a truth on your lips. You need to always have the proper thoughts and a true heart. Okay, and this too is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch Halacha L'Maisa in Choshen Mishpah Simon Reish Kav Chai. Okay, I want to now that you'll see here two interesting pieces from Rabbi David J. Blythe in his book Contemporary Halacha. Right, when students or graduates of religious institutions engage in academic dishonesty or whatever form, their actions and the gravest of all transgressions, namely profanation of his divine name. Okay? So, Rabbi Bleish is pointing out, not only are there Yisurim involved, but there's a huge Chilul Hashem, right? You open up the New York Times, there's a massive, you know, huge cheating scandal, and, you know, insert Yeshiva High School name here, right? Huge SAT scandal with, you know, Jewish religious students. Whatever it is, that's going to lead to this huge Chilul Hashem, and, you know, above all other things, that's a really big problem. Okay? And then there's a whole article, there's a whole discussion in YU all about cheating, not cheating. They made a whole big thing. They actually printed out posters and put them on the floor and on the walls all over some of their testing rooms one year when there was a big cheating scandal that happened with all the psukim in Varsheker Tirchak and like quotations from different rebbeim and poskim about the issue of cheating. You know, you want to cheat on the test and you look up and all of a sudden the Rambam, you know, hits you right in the face. It's us here to cheat. Maybe you'll think twice. So this is an article written by a student then, which had an interview with Ozer Glickman, who was a Yechad Tzadik Livrach. He passed away suddenly, I think from a heart attack a few years ago. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He was also a incredibly, incredibly successful, you know, in banking and finance industry, and he was also a professor in their business school. And right, he's pointing out people think they're justified because they say the teachers are trying to trick us. Right? You're trying to create me a test that's going to trick me, right? The whole purpose of a test is, right, different. We can get into educational philosophy otherwise, but many students think the teacher is trying to create tricking tests. Right? You're trying you don't want me to get a 100. You want me you're trying to strip me, right? Multiple choice tests. You word it perfectly, purposely, very, very similar one to another. Why? You're trying to trick me up on the lashon. Is it exactly A or is it things like that? So you're going to justify to yourself, right? It's not justifying the knowledge I know. You're just trying to create a strong test. So that's how that's the students rationalize it. Right? As Glickman points out, there is a widespread agreement amongst poskim that cheating on an exam or other assignments violates multiple prohibitions. It's gonna us das, okay? Because it's gonna create a false impression on other students, on teachers, on your future employers, right? You walk in to get a job, you got a 4.0 GPA, you're much more likely to get the job than if you had a 2.7 because you never cheated, right? Students are going to view you differently. Teachers are going to view you differently. That's going to lead to different opinions, and that's going to be tricking someone, okay? And secondly, the cheating might affect your potential, your future prospects of employment or graduate school, right? You're going to get a job because you had a better GPA. You're going to get into a graduate school because you had better grades that you didn't deserve to get into. And that's going to affect your salary or future jobs that you could get. Not only that, if you go apply for a job and you have a 4.0 GPA, and there's another person who applied with a 3.8 GPA, and they worked their tuchus off all college to get that GPA, but you cheated your way through school, not only are you going to get the job and you're stealing from the company, but maybe you just stole from the person who rightfully deserved the job that you took it from them unlawfully.
Life isn't fair.
Work smarter, not harder.
Okay. So Rabbi Glucksman takes a very, very strong offense to the statement of working harder, smarter, not harder, because of that. Okay, and he says it's also going to probably be very likely that that's going to be actual geneva. It's actual theft from your boss, because they never would have hired you had they known you really had a 2.7 GPA or you really failed the LSATs. But practically speaking, you cheated or you copied off someone else, etc.
I mean, in theory, right? He has the potential to have a 4.0. You just never know because you never took the test truthfully.
Okay, but if you didn't study or you didn't pay attention to class, okay. Right? This okay. is just a...
If you're a very smart person, you're just a bad test taker.
Yeah. Okay, so then you should work that out with your teacher, but that doesn't mean cheat. Oh. You go to the teacher and say, I know the material. I don't do well under pressure. Can we have an oral exam? I'll be happy to write a paper for you instead of test because I know for myself I don't do well under pressure.
SAT time extensions.
Whatever, but there are ways around it, right? Whatever, everyone has different things where they might say, oh, I need extra time. I don't do well under tests. Can we do it oral? I had a student last year who was not able to write the test. Did very poorly. I said, okay, I don't want to fail you. I want you to do well. I know you pay attention in class and you just don't do well on tests. Let's have an oral exam. She was scared out of her mind of the oral exam, but she did much better than she would have done on a written exam because it's just people have different skill sets. You have to come, work with what you have. Okay? So practically speaking, we've seen different thoughts. I want to just share one line from the Shevet Halevi over here, where the Shevet Halevi or Shmuel Halevi of Vazna was one of the main poskim in Bnei Brak. He was nifter a few years ago, being the first or second day of Pesach at age 102, 103. So he's asked a similar question, okay, regarding, students want to copy the answers from each other, whatever, different things along those lines, okay? And the question is that stealing? Is that cheating? Okay, what's the issue? Is there really a problem here? Is there any actual problem, right? Maybe I'm just trying to, right? It's like, college it's a means to an end. All I want is the diploma to get a job, and I don't care about the knowledge, right? I don't plan to use my degree, right? I mean, I'm not in medical school, or I'm not going for a job where the degree itself is what I need. I just need to have a degree to get the job, right? Has nothing to do with my actual, right? I'll perform well on my job, but right now I just need a pass in order to get the degree so I can get the job, right? It's a stepping stone. It's not like obviously medical school or, the stakes are very different. Okay? Okay. So that's what the Shevet Halevi was asked, and he writes, "Vani bekitzur." I'm going to say very shortly. Like, I can't even believe you would ask such a question. Like, there's no subject. It's so obvious. Like the gall to ask such a question. Okay, like, he's very chervet. How can you, like, I can't even comprehend the fact that you would even contemplate such a question. No, the Shevet Halevi is like, we generally think, like, the more modern Orthodox Rebbeim are like, this is for sure usher. And the Haredi poskim are like, oh, it's probably fine, spend more time learning, and, the ikkar is that you learn Torah, and you have to make your parnas on the side, so cheat your way to get a quick parnas so you can spend that time in the base matters, right? That's how people often think about the Haredi community. Oh, everything's, it's just kind of trying to hetar parnas so you can spend as much time in the base matters. The Shevet Halevi, who's as right-wing of poskim, right? His tshuvos are as machmir, as Ashkenazi poskim come, right? He's a very classic Hasidic, Haredi, Litvish. I mean, it's an interesting blend of Hasidic and Litvish. Massive, massive posek from, Av Basin of Bnei Brak, right? And he's like, I can't even believe you would even think to ask this question. Not only ask the question, but you're asking it l'chatchila. You're not saying, Rabbi, I cheated on my test because I saw the guy in front of me circled B and I circled C and I know that he knows the material better than me, so I changed it. But the Eved, do I need to tell the teacher or not? That's one question. Here, you're coming to me saying, l'chatchila, Rabbi, can I go cheat? Hashem HaLevi's like, are you out of your mind? Like, what's wrong with you? How dare you ask such a stupid question? He doesn't say it in that way, but he's like, I'm mind blown by this. Okay? Especially when dealing with chinuch. Right? You're asking about chinuch is all about education. You're trying to, when we're going through chinuch, we're trying to work on ourselves to become more educated and more well-rounded people. Right? This is not like, this is the exact antithesis of it. For sure, without any question, this is Gnevas Das, Shasr, like Nova, Filo, Daito. Okay, quotes all our sugya. Okay, basically the Shevet Alevi, Kol Ha'ev said Midos, the Hargil Talmidim, and even if you're right, besides for Gneva and Gneva's Das, this is horrible to allow such a thing. Your students are gonna end up, this is a horrible teaching to your students. Your students are gonna really be messed up by this, right? It's Neged Ha'emes. This is going against all aspects of truth. And truth is the biggest, like, speed bump in our generation. What knocks people off more than anything else is lying, telling the truth, right? Doing things behind people's backs, right? This is like the worst thing that everyone's doing. Like, not tell, you know, this is horrible. The emet ahuva mikol, and we know the Chazal tells in this place how much emes is praised and it's loved by Hashem, right? As we saw, he doesn't quote it exactly. We saw Hashem is his name, his signing, his signet ring is emes. Kemuvani yesh safek v'dargat tzion asher alechet lefnei mishur adin. Okay, and at the end of the day, if there's a question about what grade do you deserve, don't you deserve, that's a different discussion, but I can't believe you'd even ask this. Okay, I brought a tshuva here from the Mishnah Halacha, Rav Menashe Klein. Not going to read it inside now just because of time. And another interesting question from the Tzitz Eliezer, which I'm just going to share with you the question, but for thought, and then we're going to try and see the Agros Moshe inside. It's not so long. We've got about 10 minutes left, 12 minutes left. So we're just going to share Tzitz Eliezer's question, and then we're going to see the tshuva of Rav Moshe inside. Just because the way that still is, this question is, if we want to get back into what we discussed at the beginning, maybe some nuances, but the stakes are very high, but the nuances could be there. Okay? Over the last few years, the Tzitz Eliezer was Nifter, I believe, in 2006. So relatively modern. All the posts can be quoted today, so all the posts can be dealing with the last century. Tzitz Eliezer was the youngest, I mean, Shevet Alevi outlived him, but I think that Tzitz Eliezer was younger. But Tzitz Eliezer points out, right, over the last few generations, there's tons of medical journals, right? There's every reputable university puts out medical academic studies. Every good hospital puts out their own clinical trials, etc. Right, pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, medical institutions, private firms, etc. There's endless supply of medical journals and medical articles. Correct. Yeah, there's just constant, endless supply of new stuff, good quality things as well, right? As a result of this, there's come to be a significant amount of pressure and competition that if you want to get hired as a doctor in a hospital, what's one of the first things they look at? This isn't just true for medical, for doctors, it's true for other fields as well. What's one of the first things they look at before you get hired?
School.
Not just diploma in schooling. How many articles have you published? Are you co-signed, right? Did you do any lab work in college? Are you co-signed on any, academic articles from the lab in your institution? How much, right? One of the things that we often look at, see how qualified or credible of a doctor someone is we see, well, how much did you write? How did you really do trials? Did you do, research? Things like that. Okay? So practically speaking, let's tell the answer to the question. Okay? I'm not going to get a job if I haven't written tons of articles, right? If I wrote, I was part of two articles when I was in college, I'm not going to get a job because there's people who've written 5-6 articles. They're part of different labs. They were co-signed on different things, right? And I'll never get hired. Okay? So what do people do? You change some of the data, you change the ages, you maybe change, you play with some, you fudge the numbers a little bit, you shift things, you make it a little bit more exciting, a little more interesting. What we'd call kind of a quasi-plagiarism, you're not plagiarizing 100% like copy and paste, but you're changing it enough so that maybe they won't catch on to it. Okay? And as a result, it's more likely you'll get a job. Okay? Lachen nafshi b'sheilatzi. Right? He wants to know, ha'ima yidishinu ya'pratim ela ovrim al isur gnevas das abrios. Is this going to be an isur of gnevas das? Right? I went through all of my schooling. I graduated medical school 100%. Right? I am just as qualified, like my degree, I passed medical school, I passed all my exams. My question is, I know that the hospitals in my area, they look at how many academic articles have you written. That's their main criteria. Right? You have to have a good degree. And then after, you know, what your degree is, they ask you, what did you publish? Okay? And so my question is, can I fudge how many articles I published?
I would say for sure no. If you look at colleges today, look at how many extracurriculars, how many, all the extra stuff, it's not just your GPA. If you say, can I lie on that? Why?
So that's GPA, maybe not. Maybe extracurriculars will be similar. No,
no, I'm saying GPA aside.
At this point, I think Joe's saying is that it's
the same thing.
Okay. What's
part of getting in?
I don't want to, yeah. Basically, you could say it's factored in, but it's also not, it doesn't make you necessarily a less qualified doctor. You could say no. The fact that you took part in four studies instead of two studies inherently makes you a little bit more qualified. That's why the hospital prefers you.
Yeah.
Okay? But you can see why it's a little bit different because it's not a test. This is purely, on one hand, the risk's higher because it's actually going to have a mamish because you're more likely to get the job. On the other hand, it's not affecting the quality necessarily of the fact that you are a reputable, trained doctor. Let's leave the question. We could argue the nuances. As I said, I don't want to go through this whole tshuva. It's a little bit longer, and I want to focus on Rav Moshe.
Okay.
But the question that the Tzeli Arizal was asked, I think, is a little bit more nuanced than cheating on a test because it's working on the assumption that you've graduated medical school, and this is purely just I'm trying to increase the chances that I get hired. Which, depending on how you look at it, make it a much bigger question of Gneva Mamish versus Gneva's Das, right? Because that might be real thievery. Okay, now let's see Rav Moshe's tshuva inside. Okay, we have 8 minutes left. Let's try and see it inside. Okay, no, the shuva is from 1980. Shavshin, yeah, Shinmem. Okay, so he basically opens up right this whole question we saw. Okay, so hine, third line down for those that are following inside. End line. Hine the rezeh asur lo rak midin malchut ela midin haTorah. This is not only forbidden to cheat on the regents or your test because of din malchut din. It's not just because the government, the state of New York, or your school, or the board of the institution says you're not allowed to cheat. Halacha says it's usher to cheat. Rav Moshe opens up a very, very harsh stance here, right? It's not because of the law, but because of the halacha. The ein zeh rak gneivas das. It's not just that you're stealing, you're tricking someone, you're cunning them, etc. Shegam gein usher kedamar, right? It's also usher because as Shmuel said in Daf Tzadi Dalet, as we saw in Chulin, shayidei she'usher lignov das chav abrios vavilu datzo shel akim kol shegein hacha. You're also stealing mamish. It's not just Gnevas Das. This is actual thievery. You're causing true theft of money, Rav Moshe says. Right? You might be cheating on your regents as an 11th or 12th grader, but now 8 years down the line, you're going to apply to get a job. What if your boss, when you're applying for a job, what do they ask you for? I want your resume. I want to see your report card, etc. They're going to see you graduated with high honor roll. You graduated with excellence. You graduated with a 97.8 GPA, right? They're going to look at your GPA. They're going to look at your report card. They're going to look into your grades. And they're going to say, oh, you did really good in school, and thus they're going to be very likely to hire you. But if they saw your quote-unquote honestly deserved grades, they didn't see the 97, they saw the 81, right? They saw the fact that you failed the test instead of passing it. They never would have hired you, right? No one would hire you as a brain surgeon if you failed out of medical school, right? That's crazy. And also, you never would have gotten into medical school if you didn't cheat in high school. No one's going to hire you. You're not going to get into medical school having failed out of high school, right? It's almost impossible to happen. Okay, so Moshe is not just Gnevas Das, it's Gnevas Mamish. This is really truly stealing. Okay. The gam shasur l'shaker b'chol ofen af she'enu nogeh l'shum davar de'enu mahut. Okay, this is also, we know you're not allowed to lie, even though lying might not necessarily affect something. Here exactly what is, you're lying to the teacher, you're lying to the state. What exactly are? Oh, there's also a whole discussion. Rabbi Nachman has a piece like this. There's no such thing as lying if it's in writing. Lying is only, by definition, lying is only by speech. Not getting it. We could argue that or not. Rabbi Nachman has a line, and we can also argue whether we take Rabbi Nachman like a statement in Machshava, a Libra Delgaza, leaving that aside. So maybe, you could argue, maybe this isn't really lying, right? As was pointed out, as Ariel pointed out earlier, right? Maybe it's not lying because you're right, you're giving the correct answer. But they're judging you based on what your knowledge, not on what's the right answer, I think. That's what most teachers would say. But as based on what Ariel said at the beginning of Shir, then Lechora, maybe this isn't actually lying, right? That's what you said earlier, right? You're providing the right answer to their question. So how could that be lying? Okay, Rav Moshe is saying, Becholzo, you right? Rav Moshe thought of that svar, and he said, no, that's still going to be called lying. That's going to be problematic. Okay, and he quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Bet. The Gami Miyadeh Shehu Mishaker Lo Yasomech Alav Beklum VeYigrom Sheyachshod LeAchar. Okay, Sheyachsed Ezu Davar. Okay, even if they knew you were lying, no one would trust you. No one want you to do that. Lo Yachshod Mechamat. Shalambar beYeshiva, right? Someone might have thought, oh, I would never think Shimon stole or that he cheated, right? He's a yeshiva bacher. He learns Stark in the base medrash. He has good midos. He learns Musar Seder. He gets something from Vasikin. He does Daf Yomi. He learns. He's Kovei Itim. He has a wonderful family. I would never be choshing that Shimon, my good yeshiva bacher, is the one who cheated, right? What's going to happen if I have five employees? Okay? And I say, I'm never going to assume it's Shimon because he's yeshiva bacher. My other four employees are going to be in the limelight for any potential, you know, misnomer in the workforce, in the workplace. Okay? So by definition, they're going to think, oh, no way he cheated. He's a good Erlich HaYid. So I'm going to think of other people might have done it. Okay? Umachzik v'tamin chacham. I think he's a tamin chacham. V'ish neman. And he's a truthful, good person. V'yisalik l'acher. And I'm going to blame the issues that happened, right? Someone stole money from the register at the end of the day. I would never think it's our Tom and Chacham Shimon, who works, you know, the night shift, right? He has great midos. He learns. He goes to minyan. I'm more likely to think that maybe it was, you know, my illegal worker who's getting paid off the books. Maybe it was more likely that it was him instead of, you know, my good friend Julio, not Julio, Shimon, who comes to, who's coming to minyan with us, okay? Or who's part of the who comes to my nachabura, whatever it is, okay? And so then he's gonna, unfairly, the blame might fall on someone else, okay? Also, people are gonna think you know what you're talking about, you know the material. Okay, right? If you know the material, you're gonna do better, you're gonna work better, you're gonna be more effective as an employee, as an employer. That's gonna be problematic, okay? And also, there's those who might have said, oh, it's mutter to cheat on my test. Why? Because then I'm going to have more time to learn, right? If I have the test thing, then what? I don't need to study. I don't need to spend 10 hours studying if I know the answers to all the test beforehand, correct? I know the answers. Oh, this is the question? The answer is B. I memorize the answers. I spend a half hour memorizing the answers. Or I can spend 10 hours reading the textbook, reading my notes, going through, listening to recordings, etc. So maybe it's a mitzvah to cheat on my test because it's Bittul Torah. Right? That's a from svara. Right? That's a good svara. Right? It's like an avera lishma. I'm going to cheat on my test so that I can spend more time in the base madrash. I'm going to memorize the answers from last year's test so that I can come to night seder instead of learning for the test. Ramon said, that's not true. You can't steal in order to learn more Torah. It's like saying, I'm going to rob a bank, move to the Bahamas, and then I'll open up a base medrash and sit and learn, except you never worry about my parnasa. Why? Because I just stole $93,700,000 from, you know, Bank of America. And now I'm living off in my private base medrash, Shalom Yisrael. That's, of course, Asr. That's the craziest svar I've ever heard. Oh, it's an Avera Lishma. It's Mutter, of course. No, you're out of your mind, Rav Moshe says. Pasha, you can't do that. V'im chashka nasha b'torah ein lo lidog shema lo yada kol kach v'lo yeh lo simon al tov alei. Right? Don't think it's coming. Oh, I want to learn more Torah. This is lishma. No, you're not going to see simon bracha in your learning because you stole and cheated in order to be more stark in the base medrash. I'll let you in b'zein yan b'tol Torah. They're not going to be b'tol Torah. Da'achar shaholech lomod limudei chol hurak hatzlus ba'alma shalomei b'open shalo yeh lida kol zman v'akol pani mivata la v'adara mitragel shalo lida ma shalomei mitragel atzlo. Right? Because memela, right? leaving Rav Moshe's hashkafa on the importance of secular education or lack thereof aside, Rav Moshe says, if you're taking time out of your learning to get a secular education because you need to get a job, and then you fudge your secular education by cheating in order to learn more, you've lost out on both your Talmud Torah and your secular education. As in, once I'm going to college, or once I'm going to school, I need to at least know the material that I'm wasting time in the base medrash by going to class, so I'm going to get the 8 hours back by not studying for the test because I cheated. So now I'm not actually going to know the material on the test, and I'm not going to have any success in my learning, so I end up losing out here and here and there. Rav Moshe at the end discusses the whole thing where he says, you know, he doesn't actually think the story that was in the news of the Yeshiva Bachram cheating, it might not have even been a true story, whatever, leaving that aside.
It doesn't matter.
Right, because that's... He basically says, I think that...
It's a public thing already.
Right, no, he's just saying, I think the story that was publicized in the newspapers was an anti-yeshiva thing, etc. But that's irrelevant to our discussion, right? That's specifically to whatever the case was in 1980, I don't know. But, practically speaking, to summarize quickly what we saw, first off, the Torah tells us how important it is to always and constantly tell the truth. We saw that we have to do everything we can to stay as far away from lying as possible, okay? We want to measure, resemble ourselves after the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signet ring is MS, A to Z, right all over. Our entire goal is we want to tell the truth always, okay? Then we saw the Isser of Dina Damachut Dina, the law of the land is halachically binding, so we can't, if the law is, you can't do that. Then we saw the importance of Genevas Das, tricking someone, stealing from someone, okay? That applies both for Jews, non-Jews, you're trying to con someone out of their money or trick them in one way or another. That's brought down, okay, in the Mishnah Torah, that's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, that's what we paskin. Then we saw potentially the Isser of actual Geneva. You're going to end up getting a job you don't deserve. That's going to keep the job from someone who actually does deserve it. You're going to get hired even though you never would have on your own merits, etc. Then we saw, you know, that some people try and justify, right, the huge issue of Chilul Hashem, right? Like Rav Moshe is saying, this was in the newspaper. Someone trying to, it's a slander campaign against the yeshivas, right? This is a huge Chilul Hashem issue, right? That's what Rav Leish was pointing out, was what Rav Moshe was trying to mention at the end of his tshuva, was what Rav Leish was getting at, is look at the Chilul Hashem that's going to be when a newspaper hits. You know, yeshivas X, you know, all cheated on their test, and whatever it is, that looks horrible, okay? Then we saw the Shevet Alevi and Rav Moshe completely blast this out of the water. There's no way anyone in their right mind would think of such a thing. It's a krum svara, different reasons why that is. Interesting question of the Shevet of the Tzitz Eliezer. What if it's only on, you know, academic articles that are at the end of the that are required in order to get a job, but not actually required in order to pass your test? So how would that nuance apply? So Bezrat Hashem, we should only be mechazik ourselves in the sugya of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, trying to do everything we can in the most yashar, emistic, and straight, true possible way, as we try and strive in everything we do to resemble the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and strive for MS.